Here we go. Today I want to talk about a topic that every human being deals with on this earth. There is not one person immune from this one thing trying to negatively affect their life. I want to talk about the topic of distractions. Say distractions. Specifically, I want to talk about what exactly are distractions? Where do they come from? And how to overcome those distractions in our life. So the title of my message is very cleverly titled, Overcoming Distractions. Can you believe that? That took a lot of thought and prayer to get to that title. Okay, all right. You need to know and understand this important point right now. The enemy and every evil spirit, every evil spiritual being in the kingdom of darkness uses distractions to try to influence us to get outside of the will of God for our life. Amen? That's what it's for. They want us, the kingdom of darkness wants you and I to waste our precious time on this earth with meaningless things, with things that have no power, with things that are going to take us away from the Lord. Giving into distractions will always, don't ever forget this, giving into distractions in your life will always cost you something. Whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's some kind of a blessing in your life that you had that you ended up losing, it will always cost you something valuable in your life, and it's not worth giving into the distraction. The Holy Spirit spoke these words to me during my time of study for this message. He simply said this, and it was like a light bulb went off in my spirit. He said, the steal, kill, and destroy purpose and process against Christians and against humanity in general, ready, begins with distractions. It begins with distractions in our life. The enemy is trying to negatively influence us with schemes, with tactics, by using distractions. Say distractions. Half of that battle is being won in our life when we do these things. When we're aware of those distractions and when they come, how to recognize them, and to be equipped and prepared to overcome those distractions. That's half the battle. So let's start off with some different definitions of what that will help us understand exactly what the nature of distractions are. What exactly is taking place when a distraction comes? This was very interesting, I must say. Someone might say, well, this is kind of a boring. No, this is very interesting because as I was studying this and looking at the definitions, it was very intriguing, actually. Listen to this. The definition of the word distraction is this. It's a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to someone else or something else. Or it's an extreme agitation of the mind or emotions. I found that very, very interesting. Let me say it again. A distraction is a thing that prevents someone from giving their full attention. Say full attention. Or it's an extreme agitation of the mind or emotions. Distraction is a shift in or a dividing of our mental focus or attention from one thing to something else. Did you hear what I said? It's either a complete shifting from that one thing or it's a dividing of something, of your attention with something else. That thing or distraction, it could be a thought or the voice of the enemy coming from the outside or the inside or from something that's happening just in the natural realm that's catching your attention, that's trying to throw you off course. Now, agitation, say agitation. Agitation is defined as this, as a state of anxiety or nervous excitement. Now, here's what's interesting about that definition, a state of anxiety. Anxiety has to do with fear about the future. Say future. Anxiety has to do with fear about the future. A distraction, then, is meant to hinder your present and your future. Did you just hear what I just said? A distraction is meant to hinder you in the now, but ultimately hinder you from hitting your goal in the future. It's a distraction. It's a derailment off the train track of the will of God in your life. Now listen to this. This gets even more interesting. Do I have your attention yet?
Yes.
Good, because the definition of attention... Listen to this. The definition of attention is defined as this, as notice taken of someone or something. Or, oh, I love it. Here we go. The regarding of someone or something as interesting or important. That's what gets your attention in life. What you regard as something interesting or important in your own heart, in your own life. I want to unpack these definitions to give you a little bit better understanding of the dynamics, of what dynamics are happening when the enemy's trying to distract us. A distraction is anything that takes your full attention away from someone or something. Now, words similar to the word distraction, we call those what, you English majors? Oh, okay, there you go. Synonyms. Not cinnamon, synonyms. Okay. Words similar to distraction are these. Ready? Diversion. Interruption. Disturbance. An intrusion. Interference. Obstruction. Or hindrance. Isn't that interesting? That kind of gives you a fuller picture of what a distraction is. In connection to our faith, by the way, doubt would be considered a distraction. The purpose of doubt is to weaken or to dissolve or dilute the faith in our heart. A thought of doubt is simply an interruption in the flow of our faith or trust in God and His Word. Is it not? That's what unbelief is. Just never really believed that. Doubt is you believed until something interrupted that belief. A thought came in, something happened in your life that caught your attention, and you took your focus from faith in the Word over to that thing. So the purpose of doubt is to weaken or dissolve or dilute the faith in your heart. A thought of doubt is an interruption. Say interruption. Now, go with me to James chapter 1, 5 through 8. James 1, 5 through 8. Oh, I got some things to say. This is so good. The body of Christ as a whole, we're given into too many distractions. Then we wonder why there's not a move of God happening. Come on, somebody. We wonder why good things aren't happening in our life. We're distracted. We're too distracted. We got to get focused. Amen? James 1, 5 through 8. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, no interruption, no distraction. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea and tossed by the wind. For let not that man or person suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So doubt is a distraction or interruption. It's either a thought that comes in or it's a picture in your imagination of something negative that hinders your faith. Are you following me? And it will hinder us. That doubt, that interruption that you give your focus and attention to, the Word of God is very clear. It says that will hinder you from receiving from God in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me not want to be distracted. Our thoughts and faith must be focused. Remember, I always told you that. Faith is always focused on something. It's not general. It's focused on something. Amen? Jesus didn't just say, hey, some tree over there, be cursed, blah, blah, blah. No, he cursed a specific fig tree. It was specific. Say specific. Our thoughts and faith must be focused without distractions, no doubting, a constant flow. Here's what it is. Let me break it down to make it very easy for you. Ready? There's no doubting. There's a constant flow of thoughts filled with trust in God and his word. That's what we're talking about. When we're talking about the heart, issues of the heart, when we're talking about that, I'm talking about your thought life. This is where distractions happen, in your thought life, what you're thinking about, all right? By the way, so faith is specific, and so is, ready, asking, seeking, and knocking. That, though, all three of those processes, they're very, very focused. They're very specific. You're asking for something specific. You're seeking something very specific. You're knocking on a very specific door that you want God to open. Amen? The enemy is always trying to hinder those three actions in our walk with God. Why? The enemy hinders the ask, seek, and knock because Jesus made it very clear, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, if you ask it, you will receive. If you seek, you're going to find what you're looking for. If you knock on that door, it will be open. If you stay in faith and don't get distracted and you don't give up. Amen? Amen. Now, as I've been mentioning for a few weeks now, Peter walking on water. Peter walked on water until he gave place to the distraction or the interruption in his thought life about the storm and the huge waves and the wind and everything in the natural realm. Did he not walk on water? Now remember, Jesus said he had little faith. Peter had little faith. Little. Or remember I talked about a couple sermons ago. What is he talking about? It's talking about his endurance of time of maintaining that faith was little. It's in time. You remember me talking about that? That's what little faith is. It's not quantity. It's time frame. He had faith. He had a little faith that allowed him to walk on water for a little bit until the distraction came. Then the faith was gone. Bye-bye. And he went down. I was falling, so I had to do that. Now, so once Peter allowed the distraction, say distraction, or the interruption of doubting thoughts to enter his heart, his thoughts to shift his heart. He allowed those thoughts, those doubts to shift his heart from trust in Jesus to fear. And the miracle of walking on water ended when the faith left. Because that's a miracle. Anybody walk on water lately? That's a miracle. Amen. Connect that to any miracle that you're looking for in your life. You got to keep your faith connected. You got to keep this. Kenneth E. Hagin said, keep the switch of faith. What? Turned on. Keep it turned on. So the devil, demonic spirits, the whole kingdom of darkness, all those jerks, those idiots, right? The devil is trying to influence us, ready, to short circuit our miracles. Here's the interesting thing about a distraction from the enemy. The enemy is not even trying to. Now, you got to get this. Say, I'm listening. Because this is important. I touched on it, but I want to go a little bit deeper and make sure you got this in your heart. The enemy is not even trying to shift your full attention to someone or something else. He is simply trying to stop us from the position of, ready? Full attention or focus. Did you just hear what I said? Isn't that something? The devil's got a pretty easy job, doesn't he? He doesn't got to influence you to even get your full attention on something. If he can just get you to take that faith and trust in God and divide it a little bit, the miracle ended. Isn't that something? A distraction is simply meant to do this, ready? To weaken our full attention or focus on God. Distractions can be with anything, in your job, and whatever. I'm obviously talking about your walk with God, your Christian walk today. So a distraction is simply meant to weaken our full attention or focus. That tells me the enemy then knows the power of us giving our full attention. The enemy knows the power of giving our complete and total full focus to God and His Word in our life. We need to understand that. If the devil's trying to hinder you from full and complete focus on God, there must be a blessing of maintaining that attention and focus. So the enemy is trying to weaken our attention and focus on God, His Word, the kingdom of God, our God-given calling, our purpose for our life. So a distraction, by the way. So as I was going down and studying this, all of a sudden a verse came to me, and the Holy Spirit gave me another word. He said this. He said, a distraction can also be a temptation. Say temptation. A distraction and a temptation, they're both trying to shift your thoughts away from what you're focusing on, the right thing. It's a trying to shift you away from holiness and obedience to God. Now, here's what temptation is defined as. Ready? Temptation is defined as the desire. Say desire. The desire to do something, especially wrong or unwise. That's a temptation. It's defined as the desire to do something, especially something that's wrong and something that's unwise. Go with me to James 1, 12 through 15 real quick here. We're plowing through. James 1, 12 through 15. 15. Now, here we go. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone with evil. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away, underline it, by his own desires. And enticed. Then, when the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. That's there. What's some? Thank you, Lord, for your word to give us clear understanding of what's going on, how to avoid this trouble. Come on, look at this. Blessed is the man or person that endures, or that means who doesn't give in to the temptations or the distractions or the desires to do wrong things, come on, and unwise things. I find it interesting, wrong things and unwise. How many of you know there's a difference? Some things might not be wrong, but it might not be a wise thing to do. Come on. So wise and unwise is contrasting the holy standards and commandments in the Word of God with the worldly and sinful standards, all right? So the Word of God says that blessing awaits those Christians that endure temptation. Those that don't, you could say it this way, those that don't yield to it, those that don't slow down and look at it. How many gawkers do I have in here when there's a car accident? When you're driving by, you're going along 55 mile an hour, and all of a sudden someone's on the side of the road, looks like there's some, and you slow down, and you got to take your seatbelt off, you got to crawl over. What's going on? She's always like, I want to know what's going on. So those who don't yield, slow down, pay attention. Those who don't slow down, don't pay attention. Drive right by that thing. Don't pay any attention to that distraction. Amen? God makes it very clear that distractions and temptations to sin are never from Him. God does not use sin at all. all right? Or anything evil for that matter to test us. You could say it this way. God doesn't use the devil's stuff. God doesn't use what he redeemed us from. Did you hear what I'm saying? God doesn't use. Now, in all situations, God can turn it around. God can minister to you, but he didn't cause it. Amen. Verse 14 says that each one is tempted. Look at this. When he is drawn away. Say drawn away. Drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is a full-blown adult. Hello. What does that mean? It means when that process, come on, isn't aborted, but it's allowed to continue in your life. You're not dealing with your sin. You're not dealing with those evil desires, those evil things in your heart. And then it says, when that evil, when that sin that you refuse to deal with in your life, it first gets conceived, and then it's a little baby. And then it says you didn't deal with it. Now it's a full-blown adult. Now it's really out of control. And it says when it gets to that stage of the full-blown adult, it says it will bring forth death in our life. Say death. Desires begin, listen to this, desires begin with continual thoughts or meditation on something very specific. Listen to this. Wrong desires, you could say thoughts, and then wrong desires are thoughts, and sin, let's put that in the category of spoken words and actions. It's some kind of an actions. It says it will manifest death in many areas of our life. What is that talking about with death? What does that even mean, right? That means that there will be death or separation from God because of your willful or unrepentant sin. It's going to invite death into areas of your life. Think about this. You won't have evil or wrong desires if you don't meditate on those things. Do you hear what I just said? What I really want to point out in this passage is that we are drawn away by our own desires, by our own thoughts, and then it catches us. It says, then we're enticed. Thoughts that we have given place to. We didn't allow those things to be cast out of our thought life, right? Or cast down, as 2 Corinthians 10 talks about. But we've taken hold of it. They got conceived in our thoughts, right? Here comes the little baby. Now we didn't deal with it, and now it's full-blown, and now we're dealing with tons of rebellion in our life. So that is talking about our attention and focus, our desire or thoughts in our heart. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit said this. Desire or thoughts in our heart controls our spiritual eyes. It controls our spiritual sight, which in turn controls our attention and focus. It's what we're getting. What are you focusing on in your life? Are you primarily a negative person? Or are you primarily a positive person? Where are we at here, right? I'm just saying we all got to ask ourselves that question. So this is exactly why God warns us in his word to stay focused on him. Stay focused on his written word and to meditate fully on it. Think about it. Remember, what's meditation? Prolonged thought on it. Don't just think about it and then let it go and replace it with a sinful thought. No, continue to meditate on who God is. Meditate on scriptures, right? On pure things. Philippians 4:8, right? Keep those things in the front of our thought life. Don't look to the right or to the left, right? Now listen to this. Desire grows and is stirred up in our heart, in our thought life, and that's our responsibility. It says when your own desire, when your desire, say my desire. So that's saying you control what you desire. Did you know that? You control what you desire. We control our thoughts. We control our focus and desires. In that order, by the way, thoughts, what you're focusing on, now it's a desire. Now you want this thing because you've been meditating on this thing. Our focus and attention, again, is our responsibility to control and to maintain on righteous things, on holy things. Look at, go back to Proverbs chapter 4 real quick. Proverbs chapter 4. Really what's going on here in this message, the Holy Spirit is saying, all right, guys, you got to get rid of distractions. The Holy Spirit's saying, I want to move in power in this place, right? Let's throw away all this ridiculous distraction stuff, and let's get back to the heart of the matter and what the purpose is and why we are all here and why we gather together. Amen? Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Notice how eyes and the heart are connected. Eyes and the heart are connected. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Again, wherever you see the word heart, it's always referring to your thought life. What are you thinking about? It's your thought life. Many people read that, and many Christians go for years, and they have no idea what it's talking about. It's just talking about your thoughts. What are you thinking on, right? Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your thoughts with all diligence. For out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So obviously evil is looking off to the right, looking off to the left, but we're called to be on the narrow road straight. Amen? Now, this entire passage is emphasizing our responsibility in making the right choices in what we're thinking about, what we're making ourselves aware of, and being very intentional with our focus and actions. This is why the devil is getting in public schools. He's trying to get the kids to focus on the wrong things. It sets them on the wrong track. Are you following me? The enemy knows this very well of what's going on. And I'm bringing it to your attention right now. That's why there's a fight out here. Amen. We need to get the word of God back in the schools. Amen. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead. What you see and what you hear is very important. Our attention and focus are very powerful. Again, the enemy knows that very well. They steer your attention and focus. It steers the direction, come on, of every area of your life. Again, the enemy knows this better than any of us. This is a key to the kingdom of God, attention and focus. A distraction is also defined, as I said, as extreme agitation of the mind and emotions. All right, the entire purpose of a distraction is to create, listen to me real good, you got to hear what I'm saying, this is important. The entire purpose of a distraction is to create negative emotions in your heart. Ready? I'm not done. To create negative emotions in your heart against something righteous and God-centered that you once focused on. Did you hear what I just said? The enemy's trying to create a negative emotion of something that was once God-centered. Now you're like, I don't want that God stuff, right? That's how backsliding starts. Someone who once believed in the power of God, someone, right, we see it all the time, someone who once believed in spiritual gifts, now they don't, maybe because of a negative experience in their past or the hearing the wrong teachings, giving place to the wrong thoughts. There was some kind of a distraction that took them off course. A distraction is a thought life problem. Plain and simple. A distraction is a thought life problem that creates negative emotions and the wrong or negative actions. That's really what's going on. If you have the wrong and negative thoughts, always 100% wrong and negative actions will follow. Wrong spoken words and wrong actions in your life. Now, I want to point out that attention, the word attention, the definition, it was taking notice, say taking notice, of someone or something and the regarding of someone or something as interesting or important. Your attention or focus is not in danger of shifting away from someone or something, ready? That you truly love, that you truly appreciate, or count that thing as interesting or important in your life. Go with me to 1 John 2. Your attention and focus, there's no danger of it shifting until you don't regard something as important or interesting or, come on, valuable in your life. Now go with me to 1 John 2. 1 John 2, it's right before 2 John if anyone's having trouble finding that. Now, 1 John 2, that's an oldie but a goodie, I'm telling you, we'll never let that one go. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. We're digging in the Word. We're trying to get us our thinking straight. Amen? Come on. And it says, do not, underline it, love. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So obviously you can't have both. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust or desires of it. But he who does, oh my, this is so good. But he who does the will of God abides forever. That's powerful. So it says, do not love the things of the world. If you love or are more interested in the things of the world, you will be giving place to distractions and temptations all the time in your life, taking you away from holy and righteous activities that bring you, come on, closer to God. We want to draw closer to God, don't we? We want to draw nigh to God. But a distraction's trying to get you off the train track here. Your love, listen, your love, your interest, and what you truly value then determines what your attention and your focus are set on. Attention and focus are an aspect of your heart, of your soul, of your mind, or of what? Yeah, thought life. Let's break it down very easy. It's a thought life. This is how, let me just touch on this, and I don't know why I'm touching on this, but someone must need to hear it. Probably not here in the church, but someone in Africa or somewhere watching, right? But listen to me. This is how adultery and emotional affairs start in marriages. Did you hear what I just said? Somewhere along the line, that interest, that love grew cold for your spouse. Your attention and interest were at an all-time low. And the enemy sent in distractions, the enemy sent in temptations, and your attention and your focus shifted to the wrong things and the wrong thoughts. The purpose, come on, again, the purpose is to release death to that marriage covenant. Did you hear what I just said? The full attention that was meant to be in that marriage covenant, that full attention that was supposed to be on your spouse, ready? Got divided at first. It got divided. Remember, the enemy doesn't have to get you to totally shift to something else. All he's got to do, very simple, just divide your attention and focus at first. So it got divided, and eventually, say eventually, that person's full attention, that person's full focus shifted on someone else. But it started with just dividing it. And once it totally got shifted, are you ready? It was a losing battle from there. Listen to me, if you're in a marriage today and you're in that dividing stage, this is a This is a warning from the Holy Spirit. He's saying, get control of it now, or else it's going to be a train that's gaining a momentum that won't be able to be stopped. Are you hearing me? The momentum of that train of sin became too much. The distraction and the temptation were successful in the enemy's plan. Come on, here's what it, remember, to steal, to kill, and to destroy that marriage, to destroy that family and other areas of your life. Giving in to distractions and temptations are really this. Are you ready? They are a selling out of your blessed future for a cursed, fleshly, demonic, present self-satisfaction. It's a selling out. It's a selling out of your birthright of blessing for that porridge. Did you just hear what I said? Amen. It's a selling out. That's all it is. Distractions and temptations are used and promoted by the enemy, for one reason, to get us out of the will of God for our life. Because you will then not be able to advance the kingdom of God. You will not be able to impact anyone for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, and then ultimately, the enemy wants to drag you down to hell with him. Did you hear what I just said? The enemy is trying to influence you to stop your forward traction. Traction? Are you hearing me? He's trying to stop your forward traction in your walk with God, to stop you from fulfilling your calling and purpose on this earth. Again, it's distraction. But here is the powerful truth. You ready for this? This is the good news. The enemy cannot control you. You don't have to give in to those distractions and temptations. Amen? Real quick, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So I hope that person out there in Africa who's watching me was hearing that, right? Boy, the whole one point was just for them. How about that? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Unless if I look down and I see someone sweating profusely, then we'll know. So if you want to, just kind of go like this. I'll turn my head real quick. Go ahead, do that. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says this. This is the good news. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The main point that this verse is talking about for us as Christians is simply this, very simple. God will always make a way of escape out of the temptations and distractions of the enemy. God is telling us this. Ready? Let's go a little deeper with that. God is telling us this, that our free will as human beings is greater and more powerful than any temptation, distraction, or trial you will ever face. The responsibility is on us, though, to overcome it. But we also, as Christians, come on, we have the help of the Holy Spirit. The only dynamic that will determine if we give in to distractions or temptations in our life comes down to one thing, your thought life, the condition of your heart. What are you thinking about? Who or what do you love more? That's who has your attention. That's what has your focus. That's what has your heart. Jesus warned us something very interesting. He said, you cannot serve two masters. He said, you'll either love one and you'll hate the other. Our love, honor, and respect for God cannot be shared with anybody else. You know what that's called? Idolatry. That's having an idol. That's lifting anything or anyone else above God in your life. What and who are you giving your attention and focus to and your time to in your life? What are the dominating thoughts in your heart about? God warned us about that, about our thought life in Joshua 1:8. Go there with me, Joshua 1:8, very popular passage. I got to keep this thing moving here. I'm on page 6 and I got 11. Now, did that make you excited or did you go, oh man, like, don't tell me, don't tell me. Don't tell me. All right, here we go. It says, this book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This is interesting. I find this very interesting. And I never brought this point up before, but it got illuminated to me during my study time here. I find it very interesting that in the beginning of this verse, it says to not let this book of the law, the word of God, depart from your mouth before it talks about meditating on it. Did you catch that? For some reason, it came out and it just did one of these things to me when I read it this time for this message. It talks about our spoken word before the meditation of the word. Now, here's what you got to understand. So he emphasizes the speaking of the word out of our mouth. But here's what you got to understand. They kind of go in the same vein here. Speaking the word of God is in the process of meditating on the word of God. I just find it kind of, why didn't God say meditate on the word and don't let it come out of your mouth? Why did he put speaking first? And so that really, really caught me, and I spent some time in prayer. And the Holy Spirit showed me something, that there's a deeper spiritual reason for verbally speaking it out of our mouth and not just keeping silent and keeping it in our thought life and just thinking about it. That it's got to come out of our mouth. The Holy Spirit, ready? The Holy Spirit spoke these words to me about it. He said, hearing yourself verbally speak the word of God promotes focus and attention to it in your own heart. Listen, here, this was interesting. It creates a fence-like barrier or wall in the spirit, in your spirit, and mentally, in you mentally, that will help you to tune out distractions of the enemy's voice and the attacks in your thought life. It keeps your attention and focus, ready for this, within the secret place of the Most High. It helps you to maintain a spiritual mindset. It's not just good enough to stay silent and just think about it. Speak it. So it creates a fence-like barrier, and it drowns out the voice of the enemy trying to throw this distraction and doubt on the inside of you. So spoken words out of our own mouth help to set our mind or to focus. We have a lot of different things and issues going on in our life on a daily basis, don't we? It's impossible to think of each one and to focus on each one individually. You got to be a multitasker, don't you? There's just so many things going on that are constantly changing. This is the point that the Holy Spirit wanted me to get across to you today. God is not instructing or telling us to focus on each one of those things in our life. He is reminding us to focus on Him, to make Him and His Word the center of attention and focus of our thoughts in everything we do. Our world revolves around Him, amen. Our world is supposed, He's the center, and everything else should revolve around Him, amen. If we will do that, we will not give in to distractions, we will not give in to temptations, and we will not get outside of the will of God for our life, because we are keeping Him at the center of our thoughts. And and this happens also, when we keep Him at the center of our thoughts, we are tuned in to the voice and promptings of the Holy Spirit. You're on the radio frequency, come on, of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear and know my voice. Come on, amen? It will be easier to be led by the Holy Spirit in the midst of all the things, all the busyness of the day that we're doing in our life, if we keep Jesus at the center of it all. if we meditate on the word of God. Now, anytime you hear the word meditate, it's not just prolonged thought, it's also speaking it. Whisper it. Let it come out of your mouth. Allow every area of your life to revolve around him. Make him the priority and the love and the most important. Ready? Right? Your attention. It's what you're giving all your attention to because you find him the most, interesting or the most important thing in your life. Amen? I like that. If you have no interest in the kingdom of God, if you have no interest in learning about God, are you going to get more of God in your life? No. Because you're not going to have any interest, ready? In asking, seeking. Come on. And what? Knocking. Go with me to Colossians 3, 1 through 2. I'm going to drive this scripture home in your heart too. I've been bringing this one up a lot. Because that's what a good Bible teacher does. Keeps bringing things up. Bring it home. Drive it home. Here we go. Colossians 3, 1 through 2. Let's take another look at it. Now, here's the interesting thing. Every time I'm re-bringing up a scripture, I'm bringing up another aspect of it. I got another aspect of it. Colossians 3, 1 through 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Here it is. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay, we get it. So setting our mind or our thoughts on things above in heaven is where our attention and our focus, what? Need to be. That's what God's saying in there. Your focus and your attention, your interest, the important things of your life, your thoughts need to be on things above, right? The Holy Spirit's trying to help us out in this passage. Anytime the Holy Spirit is telling us what to do, a command, he's trying to help us out. Amen? So listen to me. Listen to this. So if we're supposed to be focused on things above, listen to me, setting our mind or thoughts on things on this earth, in the natural realm, according to the word of God, are you ready? Is a distraction. Let me try it again. Hold on. It's a distraction. Oh, come on. Right? If our focus is supposed to be on things above, it says don't think on things on the earth. Don't think on things below. Those things below are a distraction. Therefore, the Holy Spirit said, because it's a distraction, it's a waste of your time and it's a waste of your energy. How much energy do we waste on worry and fear on everything in this stinking natural realm? Yep. So much, when that energy could be poured into meditating on the word of God, praying, seeking him with our whole heart. Amen? Amen. So we are expected to maintain. Maintain our thoughts of things above, things that are in heaven, spiritual things, kingdom of God things. That should be our primary focus and importance. That should have our attention. So I want you to notice this. Sometimes you got to remind yourself of this. I want you to notice that God didn't add any exceptions in that command or instructions. He didn't say, hey, focus on things above, unless you got a real serious problem at your workplace. Then, go ahead. I'll let you. Right? Focus on things above, unless you have a real serious deadly disease. Does it say that?
No.
Absolutely not. It's very clear. It's our mind has to be set on things above. Amen. Why? Setting our mind on things above is going to motivate faith on the inside of us, and it's going to release the power of God in our life. Now, so the point I'm trying to make is that we need to make God, we need to make the word of God, the kingdom of God, the power of God, the center of our thoughts, attention, and focus. Listen to this. Ready? You will attract into your life whatever is the central theme of your thoughts, attention, and focus. You will attract more of what is the central theme of your thoughts, attention, and focus. The enemy knows that. That's why he's trying to shift it to negative things. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit gave me some funny, you know, things in the natural having to do with that. He said, if you want to attract and catch flies, you put up a fly trap. If you want to attract birds at your house, put up a bird house. If you want to attract hummingbirds, put a hummingbird feeder in your yard. Are you kind of getting the point? If you want to attract the blessings of God in His Word and the favor of God, godly prosperity, healing, peace, joy, your thoughts, your attention, and focus must be on God, on His written Word, on the kingdom of God. It's very, very simple, isn't it? I love when He uses something in the natural to show us, to prove a spiritual point. If you want to attract the junk of this world system, the things of the curse on this earth, and all this junk, and the things of the kingdom of darkness, then guess what? Then fill your thoughts and attention and focus with the evil, with this worldly evil system and sin. Guess what? You'll get more of it. You will attract whatever has your attention and focus. You will attract exactly what you has your attention and what you focus on, what you meditate on in your thoughts, what comes out of your mouth. Amen? It all comes back to this. What do you really love? Who do you really love? Who do you really put value on in your heart and in your life? I want to, now, to close this message out. Well, we're making good time. It's only 11:50, so here we go. I'm shocked. I'm done getting into the scripture here, but just to finish out this message, I want to just kind of throw some spaghetti at the wall with you. I have some random points. I'm just throwing them at you, okay? Now, I won't expound on them like I would want to because I'm at the end of my message, but I might really hammer these in future messages, all right? So I'm giving you food for thought, and you can apply it to your own life as the Holy Spirit leads you to do so. So I'm just going to throw spiritual golden spiritual nuggets. Ready? Here we go. Talking about of overcoming distractions. Being offended and feeding into that offense by meditating on it is a distraction from the enemy, and you need to get back to a place of rest and peace in your life. Amen? All right? And that's in your thought life. Understand that the only purpose of offense is to create a bitterness and to stir up negative emotions on the inside of you. Here's the thing you got to understand. Ready? It's a trap of the enemy. Avoid it with all cost. Amen? There's one golden spiritual nugget right there. The enemy wants us to be spiritually paralyzed in those negative emotions and to forget why we're even here on this earth. Why did he even create us? There's a purpose, amen? The enemy would love nothing more than to get my focus off of the purpose of what I'm doing here at this church and in this area, amen? So we gotta get straight. You know, pastors have a lot of material that we could kind of go off on the wrong exit. Come on, amen? But we're not going to. When offense tries to creep in, kick it out and get back on track with the will of God in general, all right, and specific for your specific personal calling and purpose. So don't waste time on this earth. Life is short. The Holy Spirit said these words. Ready? He said it's a rehearsal for eternity. It's a rehearsal for eternity. So don't waste time on needless junk, right? This is a rehearsal for eternity. Here we go. Here's another one. Connect with and hang out with other Christians that are spiritually focused and on fire for Jesus. They pour into you and you pour into them. Iron sharpens iron. Amen? Hang around people that pull you up higher with them. Amen? People that care about you. People that will be honest with you and that people who will look out for you in your life. Right? It's not always fun when someone comes to you and tells you one of your faults, but you know what? One day you're probably going to thank them for it. Amen? Hang around people that make you want to be a committed Christian and a better person in general. Don't get distracted by hanging out with the wrong people in your life. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about the workplace. That's, you got to be there. Sorry, you're going to have to just be controlled and walk holy before them. All right? I'm talking about people that are in your inner circle. Amen? Listen, keep your eyes on the finish line of your faith. Stay focused on eternity. Every runner, every marathon runner stays focused on one thing. What is that thing? The finish line. And our Christian marathon of faith is no different on this earth. We're in a marathon, not a sprint. Amen? Amen. Pace yourself. Distractions create a blindness in our spiritual vision of the goal or the finish line of our faith. Just know that. Be aware of that. That's what distractions do. It makes your spiritual vision blurry. And now, instead of looking ahead, remember, Jesus looked ahead. He looked ahead at the finish line, and it caused him to plow through all the painful things he went through because he was looking to the finish line and what he was doing for us. Amen? The Word of God says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. In other words, they get distracted from their God-given plan and vision in their heart. They lose their sense of spiritual direction and moral clarity. How many of you know, have you seen any Christians who lost their moral clarity, right? Don't let it be you. Keep God's word and his vision for your life fresh in your heart, in your thought life. Meditate. Take time to meditate on what God has revealed to you about your calling, prophetic words that you received about your calling. Take time to meditate on your calling, on your purpose. Keep that fresh in your heart. Amen? Because when that purpose fades away, guess what people run to? Sin. Pleasures of the flesh. Come on, right? So always keep your purpose fresh. Don't get caught up in and trip over negative seasons and trials in your life. Did you just hear what I said? Let me say that one more time. Don't get caught up in, don't trip over negative seasons and trials in your life. I promise you, it's a season. It's a season if you stay close to God. Someone posted something on Facebook. It says, complaining stretches out a situation that was meant to be short. Did you just hear what I said? Complaining, having the wrong heart attitude can lengthen a season that was meant to be short. Don't lengthen that season for yourself. Amen? Stay faithful to God and his word, and you will come out victorious. Don't give in to discouragement. Fight the good fight of faith. Distractions, again, they're meant to blur your spiritual vision, but that can only happen if you allow your attention and your focus to shift to the negative, to the things of the earth. So keep your head up, keep your spiritual eyes open. Almost done. Many distractions in our thought life, ready? Listen to this. Many distractions in our thought life are remnants from a negative and emotionally painful past in our life that we allow to negatively impact and dictate our present and our future. A lot of it are remnants from a negative and emotionally painful past. Deal with it. You must make peace with your past and receive emotional healing from the Holy Spirit. Amen? And possibly deliverance from demons, depending on the situation, because that can prolong a lot of junk, right? The Holy Spirit is always trying to encourage us to let go of our past. He's not holding it against us. However, many times we are the ones doing it, and the enemy's assisting us in that, right? I mean, the enemy does it constantly, and we don't want to assist him in that, all right? Now, remember this. A spiritually weak heart will constantly condemn you, your own heart. The Bible says your own heart can condemn you. A weak spirit, someone, if you're not built up in the word, you got to know the word. Amen? So heal your past. Let go of your past. Make peace with the things you can't change. Did you hear what I just said? Make peace with the things you can't change. You can't go back. Anybody have a DeLorean with a flux capacitor in here? I haven't found one. You're going to have to just let that thing go. Yeah. My Back to the Future buddy right there. Hallelujah. Heal your past. Let go of the past. Make peace with the things you can't change. And I promise you, you will see spiritually so much clearer, and breakthrough will start to happen in your life like never before. A healed heart is a heart of peace with the past. A healed heart is a heart at peace with your past. It's a peaceful and a joyful heart. Here's another one, ready? Don't put value on people's wrong opinions of you and who you are, right? Remember, distractions take hold in our life in weak spiritual conditions. Distractions take hold in our life in weak spiritual conditions when our guard is down. How many of you know that? When our guard is down, when we're emotionally vulnerable to the spiritual attack. So be on guard. Meditate on positive outcomes, the goal, the end result, and maintain your course. It creates that boundary, a mental and a spiritual fence line on both sides to keep us on that narrow road, all right? To overcome distractions, we need two things active in our life, self-awareness and self-control. To overcome distractions, two things need to be active in our life, self-awareness and self-control. Self-awareness to know and understand our spiritual, mental, and emotional condition, our state of mind, a discernment, right? And then we need self-discipline to not go off on the wrong exit ramp in our thought life, right? It's not always easy, but we can do it, and we're expected to do it. We're commanded to stay on that narrow road. To overcome distractions in your life, obey 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It's very hard to give in to distractions and to be caught off guard by them when you're maintaining continual and meaningful communication with your Heavenly Father. I'm on the last page. Here we go. However, it's very easy to get distracted from the will of God when there is very little or no communication with your Heavenly Father, right? Stay out of things. Here we go. Here's a new one. Ready? Here we go. This will help us too. Ready? Stay out of things and situations that are none of your business. If it's not your job, leave it alone. Oh, glory. Now, that will prevent many distractions and downfalls from happening in your life, right? Don't give in to the trap of the enemy by being a busybody or a gossiping, right? You don't have to be the church police when you feel you have to warn everyone about someone. By the way, that's my job. Listen, here's the deal. If you got a problem with someone, something's going on, you think there's a danger, come talk to me. Come talk to me, and if I see fit, I'll deal with it, right? Because in the past, some people tried doing that. They had personal issue with someone, and they were going around to every person in the church telling them how bad that person was when it was a personal issue. So what did it do? It ended up causing a whole bunch of division in the church because of a personal issue with that person. All right? So don't fall into it. That's a demonic trap. Amen? Your job is to keep loving people in the midst of their stinkiness. Keep loving people in the midst of their flaws, in the midst of their imperfections, and pray for them. Reach out to them, right? Reach out to them and try to help them. Amen. Church, there it is. There it is, church. Woo, glory. Oh, you can already smell that fried chicken, can't you? Woo. And mashed potatoes, yeah, you got it. Here we go. Let me land this plane, would you? Church, as Christians, we need to do a better job of maintaining a heart that is full, that has our full attention and full focus on our Heavenly Father in the kingdom of God. We must be focused on our main mission corporately as the body of Christ and personally with our personal call, a calling and purpose on this earth. If we will constantly do that. We will overcome every distraction and temptation, and we will make the greatest impact that we can on this earth before we go home to be with Jesus forever. Amen? Amen. Let's stay focused. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. That, my friend, is how you overcome distractions. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. And today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. In other words, the enemy's trying to keep you in your seat. But the Holy Spirit's he's tugging on you. He's tugging on you like this. He's saying, go up there, make Jesus Lord of your life, do it now. Don't let that tugging, don't leave this place without obeying the Holy Spirit. If you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to come right now, just come right to one of our prayer team members and say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've backslidden, you've fallen away. In fact, you've given into distractions, and this message really ministered to you today. So there was some part, maybe it was just one point I talked about that was like fireworks that went off, and you want prayer, come on down to the prayer team member and say, this message really impacted me. I am going to overcome every distraction, and I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Now, maybe you're in here, you never received the Holy Spirit baptism. You have no clue about spiritual gifts, praying in tongues, what that's all about. Come on down. They'll talk to you about it. They'll pray over you to receive. Amen. It's necessary equipment for what, especially this world, to reach this world. Amen. Now, maybe you need prayer for healing or a family member or anything else. Just come on down. But thank you so much for coming, visitors. Thank you so much for coming today. I'm excited where this church is heading. Amen. And I think the Holy Spirit was just trying to get our thinking back on straight, because I know there's an outpouring coming. I know there's a move of God coming, and it's going to come when we're in unity. We're in harmony. Amen. In one accord. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what this message was all about. All right. If you need me sometime, you know where to find me. Love you all. We'll see you Wednesday. Grab a newsletter on the way out, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Rob. Thank you. Yes. Yep, we're having, if you want to become a member of Living Waters Chapel, you're like, man, there's a mover and a shaker. I want to be a part of what God's doing here. I want to be a member. There's a sign-up sheet in the back in 2 weeks. Rob is going to be doing a membership class. Basically, we're going to have lunch downstairs real quick, and then we'll come up. It's about a half-hour class, and that's it. So no pressure if you don't want to, but that's available if you'd like to do that. Have a great week, everyone. Love you all. Meditate on this word. God bless you.